teeth.
What was the common man's replacement tooth?
So, oh, I would like a mouthful of animal teeth.
Animal teeth. Or teeth made of bone. A human. Great. It sounds like a witch.
That's hardcore.
That's badass. And he also has some teeth made out of lead.
What is he eating?
Anything he wants. His opponents for dinner. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
So, President's Day
weekend kind of thing. President's Day is upon us again.
Yeah, here it is. And it's, you know.
So not like we have been talking a lot about presidents lately. But in any case, let's talk about some more.
Yeah, we'll talk about some more presidents.
Let's talk about different ones.
We'll talk about presidents of the past.
Yes. But I want to talk about different qualities of what makes an effective president of the country.
Large hands for gesticulating wildly at the podium, I would say.
Okay. So some qualities of an effective leader. And I remember going through this exercise in school as a child. What makes an effective leader? You're talking about different qualities.
That's when they try to knock us out of the running.
Yeah.
You're like, male? Huh?
Male.
Fuck.
Right.
Jesus. I don't have a penis. What am I doing here?
Yeah. Too bad, ladies.
Yeah.
Got to be a dude.
Look to the left. Look to the right.
Okay. So first quality is accountability. A good president understands that he or she is the head of state.
Okay. It sounds like an Alicia Keys song.
Yeah. Accountability. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good awesome. President. That's a good woman. When the nation falls, he acknowledges his responsibility rather than blame his subordinates.
When the nation falls?
Yeah.
What? That's the end? Yeah. In my mind, a nation falls, it's over.
Yeah. But he has to, going down with the ship, it's his fault. He has to be like a...
Maybe
like a
falter
captain.
Is a better word. Falter?
Yeah. I'm not saying the person who wrote this is a genius.
I feel like now, if the nation started to fall, now their president would be out the back door so fast.
Yeah.
Along with Congress, the House of Representatives.
He or she recognizes him or herself as the father mother of the entire nation.
Mm-mm. No.
Hence he treats...
This is not a paternal situation.
Yeah.
It's a job.
Yes. He treats the local government unit as his children.
Really?
It takes responsibility in helping them whenever
they take them out back when they mouth off?
Yeah. Pay for their college.
Yeah. Does he have a word with them?
Give them medical care?
Yeah. Sun, the birds, and the bees.
Yes. A nation that... Yeah, right?
This is horrible. See, this is the problem with patriarchy right here, people.
Yeah. Respect. A good leader of the country respects his constitution.
Really?
Abides the laws.
Who?
Honors the decision of the Supreme Court.
No.
Yeah. Also listens and respects the views of the common people.
The common people?
The common people.
The plebs.
Yeah.
Those at his feet. His second cousins, his third cousins. His third cousin once
his
removed.
His kids. Cohesiveness. The effective head of a government promotes unity among his people rather than causing them to divide.
Really? When has that ever happened?
And have meaningless fights.
What? That sounds more like a real patriarchy where you make your children fight each other.
Yeah, for your
amusement. Yeah.
Yeah. Amusement and approval.
And approval, yeah. See which one comes out on top, and then you pick that one.
Yeah. Humility. And an effective president admits his mistakes and weaknesses. He also acknowledges that he's not good at everything.
Oh, our president doesn't have enough time and vocabulary for all that.
Or understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is why he leaves the other tasks to the other branches of government, such as legislative and judiciary bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
Honesty and effective leader upholds truth and integrity.
So we can't even read this with a straight face.
He preserves the trust and confidence given to him by the people.
He wears a cape and he flies off. That's why Obama right now, they just showed him on vacation. Brother got on a hat, on backwards, a baseball cap.
Good.
Chilling.
He's a citizen
now.
Yes, he can do whatever he wants.
I think he should pull it to the side. Screw being discreet with having the cap in the back. Just pull it to the side like an asshole.
Yeah, he can do that.
Yeah.
Independence. A strong president is not a puppet.
Really?
His actions are not a product of impartial decisions. He's not manipulated by oligarchs and a few people who have a thirst for power.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, oh, this is what a president should be.
Should be.
Okay.
A wisdom. A wise president knows how to discern right from wrong.
Wow. No, we don't have any of this going on right now.
No. How to make the right decisions. He shows maturity of mind.
I would say a real president rocks his real hair.
Yeah. Courage. A great leader of a nation has the courage to execute the decisions that he believes are right. He's not afraid to fight for righteousness.
Huh?
And the sake of his countrymen.
Wow. We had. Who? I like this this list, though.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's the idea. It's a reminder. Compassion. In fact, an effective president understands what his people are going through. He can feel the suffering of the oppressed and poor people. Mm-hmm. He's not arrogant. Rather, he's gentle and uplifting to people who are suffering from misery and pain.
So he doesn't benefit from the suffering of poor people, is
right.
What you're saying.
No, it does not benefit. doesn't
roll around in it like a pig in shit.
Create more and then laugh with
glee.
Glee.
Yeah.
And contempt.
Like Montgomery T. Burns.
Yeah. Action. A great leader is a role model for hard work. Wants his talk and he walks his talk and inspires his people through his actions.
Yeah, a lot of people feel inspired to go out there and do evil things. So that's working.
Yeah. Look. Proactivity. An effective leader of his country is not insecure or reactive.
Oh my goodness.
Steady persistence.
I'm surprised that they still allow this to be out there. This site's going to get shut down.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Passion. Great leaders do their job with enthusiasm. They serve the public not because they are compensated with money and fame, but because it's their mission in life.
I want to see if Obama wearing a t-shirt saying, presidents do it with enthusiasm. I was an Obama hater, but I was not a huge fan either. Yeah. I was kind of in the middle. Like,
yeah,
okay,
well,
whatever.
I didn't know that he...
I just really would like to see him do a good 10 minutes of stand-up right now. Yeah. I think that would just make my day, because I know he has some shit to say.
Yes.
You know he does.
Yeah.
And he's interesting and fascinating. Yeah. Like, no matter what you may have thought about him or his policy, he definitely seems like somebody, like, that you could learn. Like, I'd like to take a class. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
He seems like he could teach a class.
Yes.
He's very erudite. He's together. And he just seems like a decent human being. Like, I would feel comfortable leaving nieces and nephews with him.
Yes.
I'll put it that way.
Right,
and getting them back intact and not traumatized.
Right. Commitment. Effective head of the government is determined to realize his great vision dreams for the nation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. More towers.
Yeah. Love. Finally, an effective president of the country has a selfless love for the people and for the next generation.
Mm-hmm. This just sounds like a lot of Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm thinking about it, because the presidents in our lifetime have been, Trump now, so none of this applies to him.
No, not at all. Not a one thing.
Not one thing. Obama, who actually seemed like a decent human being.
He was a decent human being. Yeah, sure he had his faults.
Yeah.
Everything.
Bush, who I thought was a moron and deluded. Although not evil.
Right.
Stupid.
Yeah.
And ineffective and maybe confused, mm-hmm. but not evil.
Not too,
And then
we long now for the days of
that. Yeah, we're like, hey, but we're that idiot.
Yeah. If we were back, things would be better.
Clinton, shady.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, just she always seemed shady to me. And then before that,
the
George,
Bush.
Bush won.
Mm-hmm.
King Bush, possibly evil.
Yeah.
And then Reagan, evil, delusional.
Mm-hmm.
And then insane.
Yeah. And then Jimmy Carter was actually one of the most underestimated, mm-hmm. brilliant people,
and seemed like
a leader ever.
A decent human being.
He was a decent guy, and honestly, one of the smartest presidents ever.
But made fun of because he was a farmer.
Right.
Right, because he came from a rural area. And then before that, we had, Nixon? A real piece of shit.
Yeah.
And that's it for me, I think, for presidents. Huh.
Yeah. So those are the qualities. So when you're looking, when you go to elect a president,
maybe
these are qualities that
he should have, or she should have a few of these.
A few of these. So, those are leadership qualities.
Yeah.
And you're not looking for someone to have a beer with. That's a friend.
Yeah.
Not a leader.
Not
I don't
leader.
Go out with leaders for drinks.
No.
I go out with friends for drinks and acquaintances.
And I may follow their lead in terms of what to drink.
Yeah.
But that's it. I will follow Katie as the leader because she knows what a bar is.
Yeah, to understand what a leader is and what quality they have. They're supposed to be better than a lot of people.
People know what reality TV leadership is.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what we have going on right now. So I found some interesting stuff here about presidential trivia. Fun facts and firsts from a Legends of America site, which is actually a pretty cool site. It has all kinds of, like, different immigrant, workers, women, people of color, all different kinds of things. So this is the one on presidential. So it says George Washington the only president to be unanimously elected. Nobody voted for anyone else.
Really? Was there someone running against him?
Barely.
Okay.
I'm sure there was. I'm sure. But, like, who wants to be known as that guy? He didn't get a single friggin' vote the whole time.
I was running against George Washington. I don't like his stance on
I'm sure George Washington. Because everything I've read about him just makes him seem like a really difficult, pompous kind of person. Mm-hmm. But he probably was like, now, all of you who ran against me, not one vote.
Yeah.
Interesting. Also, interesting thing about him is he only had one tooth. Mm-hmm. Of his own.
Right, all the rest
he
were
wore
wood.
No, he never had wooden teeth. He had animal, bone, lead, everything else but wood.
Really?
Yes.
So the teeth.
Wood was the common man's replacement tooth.
So, oh, I would like a mouthful of animal teeth.
Animal teeth. Or teeth made of bone. A human. Great. Bone. It sounds like a witch.
That's hardcore.
That's badass. And he also has some teeth made out of lead. No.
What is he eating?
Anything he wants. His opponents for dinner. Chester A. Arthur
He needs like these big like panther teeth, and then he's like, I'm your president.
Yeah. Right. I'm taking a bite out of whatever I want.
I'm taking a I'm trying to think of a slogan.
A bite out of crime is what they say with McGruff, but he could bite whatever.
Yeah.
Chester A. Arthur was nicknamed Elegant Arthur because of his fashion sense. I did not know that. It says, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, this is kind of weird, both died on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence in 1826. Not knowing that Thomas Jefferson had already passed, John Adams was quoted as saying, Jefferson survives, when he whispered his last words. But I guess he died before somebody would be like, no, he didn't. Like, really, they had that's that kind of beef. That bastard's still alive.
What do you want your last words to be? More wine.
More. What are my last words to be? Probably.
Yeah, that's what mine would be.
It'd probably be like either go see you in hell or go fuck yourself.
Okay.
My last words. William McKinley was the first president to campaign by telephone. How annoying that must have been.
Oh, my God.
I'm so glad the home phone thing is over. Because you know what? I think young people don't understand how they love phones now. Mm-hmm. Phones used to be a source of annoyance.
It was, yes.
It was a thing of, like, do not call people at night when it's late. Do not call people on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Don't call me, you know.
Don't call anyone after 9.
Don't call during dinner.
Right.
You know. James Madison was the shortest and lightest president.
Lightest. He was hollow from the inside.
He was 5'4", and he weighed 100 pounds.
Oh.
That's
tiny.
That's Bloombergian in terms of. I met Bloomberg once, and I shook his hand. And I could think, what a tiny.
Is he a tiny man? Tiny, like, I never speculated on his height.
Probably wear his shoes.
Ooh,
he's a little guy. Very, he's just little. James, that shortest and lightest president. Here's it. When Millard Fillmore moved into the White House, it didn't have a Bible.
Okay. It didn't have a Bible. Oh, that was a big deal then.
Yeah, that was a huge deal. I guess whoever was there before was like, don't need it.
Isn't he the one that looks like Alec Baldwin?
Millard Fillmore. Yes, I think he is.
Yeah.
Millard Fillmore. What was the other ones here? Oh, Chester A. Arthur. Mm-hmm. Elegant Arthur. Enjoyed walking at night and seldom went to bed before 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. William Taft. I'm sure you know about this one. He was known as quite a hefty fellow.
Larger.
At 332 pounds, got stuck in the White House bathtub the first time he used it.
Oh, how embarrassing.
How embarrassing for the servants.
Oh, yeah.
To try to get his ass out of there. Because, you know, he's butt naked at this point. Yeah. All the water probably got chased out.
Yeah.
And he's
just stuck to
in.
The sides. Yeah.
Aww. And they probably were trying not to laugh. It is funny. Mm. They ordered a larger one for him. So the term...
from Home Depot.
Yes, get it in there. The term okay is credited, O period, K period, is credited to Martin Van Buren, who was raised in Kinderhook, New York. After he went into politics, he became known as Old Kinderhook. Mm-hmm. Soon people were using the term okay to refer to Van Buren, and then the word okay was derived.
Okay.
It's weird.
Okay. Yeah, it is weird.
I don't see how they jumped from it being Old Kinderhook to a synonym for all right or like fine, but whatever.
Maybe he inspired such confidence that it was just like that became synonymous.
This is Calvin Coolidge refused to use a telephone while in office. What is he, a mafia?
I'm not getting on that evil. No, it's this witchcraft device.
I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. Was it Jimmy Carter was the first president born at a hospital?
Ooh. Yeah, well, that makes sense.
There it is. Okay. At his inauguration, George Washington had only one tooth. At various times, he wore dentures made of human teeth, animal teeth, ivory, or even lead. Never would. Never would.
Never would.
Never would.
That's what my campaign's slogan. Never would.
It'll be never would.
Yeah.
So many just weird things. There was one guy I was reading about. He refused to use a telephone, and they were trying to tell him that he won, but he didn't find out until later because he like refused.
Just like, I'm not picking that
like,
up.
Like he said, I wouldn't pick anything up.
Why? Was he afraid? Of talking on it? Did he not understand how it worked?
Or? I don't know. And then there's this weird one I found here. Zachary Taylor.
Is he too good for the phone?
He's too good for the phone. What do I look like?
Yeah.
Pleb. Zachary Taylor was the second president to die in office. He spent July 4th, 1850 at a cemetery. At a ceremony in at the Washington Monument. He became ill from the heat, died 5 days later of intestinal ailments. Recently, his body was exhumed because some believed he was poisoned. Mm-hmm. Like, really recently.
Okay.
Like, I looked this up, and I think it was like, when did they pull it up? 1991.
That's yes. Recent.
His nickname was Old Rough and Ready.
Yeah, I like that.
Number 12. He dropped dead. Of gastrointestinitis after snacking on ice, milk, and cherries during Independence Day celebration.
He had such gas? Is that what you said?
Gastrointestinitis.
Oh, okay. I thought you said he had such... I didn't hear that.
I mean, he probably did have some gas as well.
Yeah.
Some historians convinced he was poisoned with arsenic, urged the government to exhume his body in 1991. No evidence of foul play. What a way... Like, really?
Well, why...
What are you going to find out?
Pot?
Yeah.
Why poke that bear?
Like, who is going to... I mean, this happened in 1850.
Yeah, what are you going to get out of it?
I don't know. Someone's grandkids? Your grandfather.
You would... Killed.
Yeah, with poisoned cherries. In any case, so what do you have?
I have the top 10 haunted areas of the White House.
Okay.
So all our presidents who have been in the White House have...
Except Obama.
Yeah, left behind.
No black person going to talk about a ghost.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Let's see. So the White House has several ghosts there.
There's one in office right now.
Yeah. Let's see. It's one of the most haunted places in the United States.
Okay.
Numerous public officials and staff members have recounted stories of bizarre occurrences or eerie sightings. President Harry Truman once wrote to his wife that the damn place is haunted, sure as shooting.
Sure as shooting.
Sure as shooting.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So the places in the White House that are haunted, first of all, is the attic.
Okay. I mean, that's...
That's normal.
Classic, yeah.
So William Henry Harrison holds the dubious distinction of being the shortest serving president.
Who? And he's Harry Harrison?
Yeah, Henry Harrison.
Okay.
He was the first to die in office, succumbing to pneumonia.
This is not what you want your legacy to be. First to die in office. He was short.
Only a month after his inauguration.
Yeah.
So we still got time.
Yeah.
All right.
We still have time.
Subsequent residents have believed that Harrison's ghost still haunts the White House attic, rummaging around for something unknown.
Why in the attic?
And then there's several presidents have reported hearing unexplained noises coming from the attic above the Oval Office.
Okay. It probably is. I mean... Have I been in the White House? Maybe when I was a kid. But when I lived in D.C., I used to go by it all the time. It's very small for those of you who have never visited the nation's capital. Mm-hmm. But in a good way. Because mm-hmm. remember, these are not kings and princes, and mm-hmm. that was their point.
Yeah.
Right? This is not Europe.
Yeah.
It's very small. And I can see how the White House is very small.
Yeah.
I can see how it could be creepy.
Yeah.
Because it's been there for a long time. And D.C., it's also built on a swamp.
Yeah.
You know? So Donald Trump was saying, just drain the swamp, drain the swamp. I'm like, D.C. is actually built on a swamp.
So what are you going
to... So good luck with that.
What are you going to do? The Harrison ghost is not the only one up there. A Truman-era security guard once reported hearing, "I am David Burns."
Huh?
Coming from the attic above the Oval Office.
Bishop, who are you?
David Burns.
David Smith?
Burns, it is. Burns. Burns. I am David Burns. So in 1790, David Burns was the man forced to surrender his land so that the White House could be built.
Wow.
So I am David Burns. This is
my house.
This should be the cry of the revolution.
I am David Burns. I like that.
We're not giving you our house.
We're not giving
our land.
David Burns can't take our land. And then we're going to find out that David Burns was a horrible person.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he must have been back then.
Yeah. But I am David Burns.
He's like, you're bringing these slaves. Now my slaves have to build this? This is bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm David Burns.
The Rose Garden is haunted as well. And I think
the garden itself?
Yeah, that's what with Dolly Madison.
Oh, we talked
about
this
in a previous episode that she runs around the garden there.
Barefooted.
Because the First Lady Ellen Wilson requested that the garden be dug up, and the garden workers reported that Dolly Madison ghosts appeared and shooed them away.
It's interesting to me that we have, I mean, right now we don't even have a First Lady. Basically,
no.
She's refusing to set foot in D.C. Probably a good move because they would eat her alive. Mm-hmm. And what's she going to do anyway besides embarrass herself in the country? But it's interesting to me that when there's a new president, the wife comes in and wants to make changes.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares?
This is my house and I need to make it
but
my own.
But don't you really have other more important things? Like, they even made Michelle Obama had a garden. They got upset with her because she grew like organic fruits and vegetables and that was hoity-toity.
Yeah.
Because, you know, health.
Yes.
Is hoity-toity. But it just seems like, and I felt like for a woman like Michelle Obama who's so accomplished, to have to be messing around with a garden.
Yeah. I know.
Stupid.
Putting her in that role, that antiquated role of like you have to be doing these domestic
but more like it, she would hire a gardener.
Yeah.
Right? And have someone else do it, but whatever.
The basement is haunted. There's something dire lurking in the basement.
Hmm?
Unlike
democracy. It's trapped down as we're trying to get out.
Yeah. Supposedly, unlike other areas of the White House that are inhabited by spirits of figures from American history, the basement is said to be the home of a demonic cat.
Really?
Yes. Those who have seen the cat claim it first appears as a small kitten, but as you get closer, it becomes larger and larger, a phantom beast.
That's creepy.
According to legend, many years will pass with no one encountering the demon cat, but when it does appear, it serves as a warning of a great national disaster.
Wow.
The demon cat is supposedly sighted shortly before the stock market crash of the 20s and right before President Kennedy's assassination.
I feel like there's probably a whole litter of them right now.
Yeah, right.
Like, look at me.
Yeah. From the basement.
The demon cat. I like that idea that it starts off small and then gets bigger. Yeah. I want a shadow animal, perhaps?
Maybe.
Well, the ability to change shape, though.
Yeah, it's a shapeshifter. We're going to do some research.
Yeah, we have to research
this
demon cat.
Listeners, if anyone knows anything about the demon cat in the basement of the White House, send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Please do. We'll do our research.
But. Yeah. Now another place is the second floor halls.
Okay.
that's Abraham Lincoln. That's his favorite haunting place. He likes to walk up and down the hallways as well as Eleanor Roosevelt.
Together?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, Ellie?
Truman once claimed to have heard Lincoln pacing the hallway and knocking on his bedroom door. Hmm. Yeah.
That's creepy.
And it's not just Lincoln in the halls. Yes, President William Howard Taft became the first person to report seeing the ghost of First Lady Abigail Adams, who he saw floating through the doors on the second floor.
I can't believe these guys are actually reporting this, because I feel like now they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, now if they think they saw something, they'd be like, I just had one too many.
Yeah, and in the second floor bedroom is the ghost of Willie, who is Lincoln's son who died.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So the daughter of Lyndon B. Johnson, her name's Lydia. She saw Willie in the bedroom and scared the bejesus out of her.
Wow. I find this fascinating, that the cat thing. You know, this is the first time I think we've not had a dog in the White House. Mm-hmm. There's no pet.
Yeah.
They probably
right, there's, keep. Yeah.
There's, like, what kind of pet?
The kids are, yeah.
No one's there.
No one's there.
It's just this old creepy guy with his other creepy guy friends mm-hmm. plotting the world. You know, maybe they should move the White House to, like, up on top of a promontory rock somewhere and they could all rub their hands together.
Yeah.
You know, like, usually there's a dog.
Yeah.
You know?
They're like trying to make it a home instead of the control center
office.
Of the...
of the new regime.
Of the Death Star.
So, yeah. It was weird. Right before the holidays, we went to see Rogue One. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it's one of those movies that just happened to come out at just the right time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it that way.
Oh, yeah?
And has a very interesting message that's very applicable right now. And I'm surprised they let it come out.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So go see Rogue One if you haven't, and you'll see what it has. A very interesting message.
Hmm.
It is the story of the rebels who stopped the Imperial Army from finishing the Death Star.
Okay.
I'll put it that way.
Okay. Let's see. There's the White House entrance has a number of notable ghost fixtures. There's a torch welding British soldier,
mm-hmm.
often seen standing outside the front door.
That's not good.
Yeah. And people have also reported seeing long deceased White House ushers and doormen still tending to their duties.
That's cool.
Perhaps the most bizarre is the ghost of Anne Surratt, whose mother Mary was hanged in 1865 for her role in the Lincoln assassination. Huh. Anne's ghost has been spotted pounding on the White House doors, begging for her mother's release.
I don't know anything about... Did you see that movie that came out a while ago about the people that were involved in shooting Lincoln?
Mm-mm.
I know really not that much about the assassination. Like, I just know the basics of it.
Yeah.
But apparently people are as obsessed with it as the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, really?
In terms of, like, how many conspiracies and books being written and just trying to get old information. It seems pretty obvious to me.
There's a lot of similarities or coincidences. There's a lot of similarities between the two assassinations, Lincoln and Kennedy.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot of links.
I mean, the government did it. Yeah. Like, of course it's going to be, it's like, you know, if you order, you know, two cakes from the same bakery, there's going to be similarities. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what to say.
Let's see. The Lincoln bedroom is the most haunted place.
Okay.
In
Do people still use place. It now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof. Creepy.
Yeah. The Winston Churchill famously refused to sleep in the bedroom ever again after seeing the ghost beside the fireplace.
Good for him. I'm saying leave that room alone. You know, yeah. I'm not even sure if I believe in ghosts, but I think, you know, Lincoln,
Yeah, but also with this Winston Churchill, he just came out of the bath and he was totally naked at the time, too.
Oh.
So he was like,
that's
look.
Already horrifying.
Yeah. Let's see. So beyond those already listed as seeing Lincoln in other places, he has also been spotted by Teddy Roosevelt,
mm-hmm.
Herbert Hoover, Dwight Eisenhower, First Ladies Jackie Kennedy and Lady Bird Johnson.
I feel like, what's he telling people? Y'all fucking up.
Yeah, presidential children, Susan Ford and Maureen Reagan.
Wow.
Maureen and
her
husband.
Who the hell is Maureen Reagan?
She and her husband both saw Lincoln standing beside the fireplace, just as Churchill had.
But he said, your father's a fraud, get out of here.
Yeah.
You people are fucking up.
And the lights in the bedroom turn themselves on and off, and there's cold spots.
Yeah. Creepy.
So we got a bunch of ghosts in the White House, and if they are true patriots, they might help us and get that demon cat.
They might help us exercise the demon cats of the White House.
The demon cat of the White House.
To come forward.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio.
And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine. I will say that, have you ever seen a president in person?
Yes, I have.
Who have you seen?
I went to, when I lived in D.C. and like, during the Bush inauguration, myself and a bunch of friends went down to protest the Bush inauguration.
Okay.
And we saw Bush looking as confused as ever. He actually does look like, when they say that someone like Bill Clinton has like a Jesus aura around him, like people are attracted to him, I would say Bush has an Alfred B. Newman aura about him. It looks like he should be on the cover of Mad Magazine. He just looks like an idiot.
He does look
like an idiot. His head shaped like a lemon. You know, I mean, he just looks like a moron. Yeah. So I remember seeing him and thinking, that's exactly what I thought. No special aura, anything like that. What was creepy is that we saw pure evil itself, which is Dick Cheney.
Yeah. Oh.
To look into the eyes of that man is to look into hell. Like, he just is a really, there's nothing, it's just all negativity. Guy probably smells of sulfur and everything else. He just looks like an evil, nasty person. And I remember the look on his face was one of, he couldn't believe that we were booing him. Like, as the cavalcade or the motorcade or whatever came closer, they were, like, all excited. And then when they got to us and they realized we were yelling boo and shame.
Right.
And it was a protest because they were not, they didn't think it was going to be. It wasn't a huge protest. We just went down there to show these mofos that we were not down with them. And it was very loosely organized. So they think they're going maybe like 1 mile an hour, and then they look around and they see how people are booing them. And so then the Secret Service just starts running a little faster alongside the car, and they just move it along. So that's the only time I've seen, you know, president or vice president. And it was not, it, you know, it was disappointing. I mean, you know, Bush is an oaf. And then Dick Cheney is just really, to be in the presence of that much just evil was weird. I've only seen really evil people a few times in life. He's definitely one of them.
There's been a handful of evil people. And you would run into them and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
You don't even know anything about them.
No, it just, you're something within you tells you get away from them.
I've run into a handful of those people. And thankfully, they're, you know, a few and far between.
Yeah.
I did once in the 90s run into Donald Trump.
Really?
Yes.
At a party?
And on streets of New York City. I was walking down the street and his limo had pulled up and he was getting out. And we looked at each other. I stopped and there were people on the sidewalk and he was getting out onto the sidewalk and I stopped and he stopped and turned and looked at me and he looked me up and down.
Gross.
And I was, that's my reaction at that time, even in the 90s, I was like, gross. This guy is gross.
Well, he's a predator.
Yeah. And he looked at me and he looked me up and down. He's probably like, she's a two.
Yeah. She's a two.
Yeah. And and he's like, I'm being generous with that.
Yeah, I hope never to run into him ever. I mean, there's just, Dick Cheney was enough. I'm still haunted by seeing Dick Cheney. The look on his face. And the fact that he spent his entire life just doing evil shit. And is still doing evil shit. Still to this day doing evil stuff, which is shocking. I'm not a huge fan of politicians anyway. I'm very, for no really good reason other than that I'm a suspicious person.
Yeah.
And I've met some local officials. And it's funny because local officials are, they're trying to put on that veneer of politician that they think they have to. But it's like, dude, you seriously live around the corner. Like, I've seen you at the bagel place. I've seen you with your kids at the park. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to. It's just a job. Nobody actually looks up to you or thinks that you can do really anything. But it's cute.
Yeah.
I appreciate you trying to put on this veneer of, you know, the politico.
Yes. Huh.
All right. What do you have?
I hear some strange presidential facts.
Okay. Oh, okay. I got some, too.
Oh, yeah?
I'll jump in as you go along. Maybe I can supplement.
Okay. Okay. So John F. Kennedy was among the most charming of all the presidents.
That's what I've heard.
That's what he's very, yeah.
And to, I have to say, and this is one of my biases coming from the relatively South, that accent, I was like, are you kidding? Was that supposed to be upper class? It didn't read that to us.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I know it does up for people who are more attuned to what Northern accents sound right. like. That's an upper class one, but I didn't feel that way.
In that day, it was supposed to be upper class. Just like back in the day, the Brooklyn accent used to be upper class.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it now turns it's into not. Something else. Right. Anyway, so he was supposed to be the most charming, but his successor, Lyndon Johnson, was something of a lout. He had an enormous ego and tended to overpower and intimidate people to get his way. Kennedy was constantly concerned about the vice president, unwilling to give him extra powers, but desperate to keep him from becoming an enemy.
Wow. He sounds like a Cheney.
Yeah. Referred to Johnson, he once told a White House aide, "You are dealing with a very insecure, sensitive man with a huge ego. I want you to literally kiss his fanny from one end of Washington to another."
I don't understand these people get where they are. Why doesn't someone just get rid of them?
Yes. Well, anyway, in his memoirs, the longtime Johnson aide, George Reedy, painted an ugly portrait of LBJ, accusing him of being a womanizing, perverted drunkard who delighted in having conversations with people while he sat on the toilet.
Wow.
Yeah, for the sole purpose of making them uncomfortable. And he bullied his staff to the point of sadism. Johnson was especially fond of whipping out his manhood that he dubbed Jumbo.
Ew, so you know it was small.
Yeah. And there was in mixed company. There's even
I love that term in mixed company.
There's even a story that he urinated on a Secret Service agent's leg, claiming that it was his prerogative.
See, this is the problem that I have with our culture, is that people like that need to get punched in the throat, regardless of their position, and it doesn't happen often enough.
Yes, his behavior could also be so reprehensible that it might have been suggested that he had a mental illness, possessed more of a grandiose narcissism than any other president in history.
I mean, he could have, not anymore.
Not anymore, yeah.
I don't know about that. You can have mental health issues and not be a dick.
Yeah.
That's you know what I mean? We
That's
all know that.
Thing, yeah, that we can't just say, you can't label just excuse mentally that. Ill.
Yes.
Anything negative the way a person behaves is mentally.
No, there are plenty of people who have all kinds of mental health issues and are lovely people and do not pee on people's legs.
There's a majority of the people with mental illnesses
and
are
do not
lovely,
force,
peaceful,
do not force
nice
themselves
people.
Yeah. on people and try to intimidate people mm-hmm. to, like, no, that mm-hmm. I'm not going with that one. Sorry.
Yeah. And Abraham Lincoln is another fact. He was enormously strong.
Huh?
He had a series of manual labor jobs in his youth.
Jeez.
And he was incredibly strong. And he was the first U.S. president that was also a licensed bartender. That's my kind of guy.
I like this guy. I imagine if someone had beef with him, he'd be like, really? Mm-hmm. Do you really want to get into this? I'll fix you a drink, but then I'm going to knock you the fuck out.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to do some logging.
Yeah. Let's see.
The idea that someone who has actual physical skills could become a politician right now just seems insane.
Yeah, right? Somebody that is insane.
Someone who knows how to actually do something other than shoot off at the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, here's something funny. Benjamin Harrison was the president in 1889 to 1893.
Mm-hmm.
He was. There's nothing really notable about him, but...
There sure isn't, because I don't even think about him.
Yeah.
Who was he again?
Yeah, no. He was the first one who had introduced electric lighting to the White House.
Nice.
But he and his wife were so afraid
that would catch on fire.
Of being electrocuted, they wouldn't touch the switches.
Wow. Although, you know what? Honestly, at the beginning of something like that, I can see. Because I'm sure shit was dodgy. It's not like there was a union at this point, making sure that everything was safe and grounded. I might be a little freaked out by it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they said it wasn't a silly notion, because in that time, they had the electricity, and they just invented the electric chair, right? And
wrong with humanity, right? We come up with this wonderful thing like electricity, and they're like, how can we kill somebody in a cruel and unusual way? That's also a spectacle.
Yes.
USA.
So there was this criminal, this man, his name was William Kemmler, and he murdered his common-law wife with a hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
So he was sentenced to the death by the electric chair.
Mm-hmm.
And it was botched. The first jolt failed to kill him, and then it was hit again. And then there was an unbearable stench of flesh beginning to singe, and it was...
But no one left the room.
And it was such, it traumatized people, the knowledge of this so much, that that's why Benjamin Harrison, President Benjamin Harrison, who wouldn't touch the light switch, he would rather sleep in a bright room than risk a similar fate by turning off the light. He wouldn't touch the light switch.
I get that. That makes sense. That's pretty traumatizing. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Let's see. I've got...
The electric chair to me makes no damn sense.
No, it's mean.
Yeah.
I guess it was the idea then you took somebody off the responsibility of pulling the trigger or getting the noose.
As if that was, as it was hard to find someone to do that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just seems like a weird idea. Like, okay, we need to, I mean, because for years it would be like guillotines, you know, shooting, hanging, all this stuff. Why would the electric chair be a better way to do this? I don't know.
Let's see. We have Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Okay.
He had Al Capone's car. After Al Capone was...
Why?
In jail.
Was he just rolling around with it?
It was... It had bulletproof glass. It was possessed by the... repossessed by the government. And so they used it for FDR. He would ride around in it.
And I think that is a wonderful metaphor for criminals and politicians. That you would take a criminal's car and be like, I'm going to roll with this because I need this too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's the thing I was looking for. Zachary Taylor received his nomination for presidency late because he refused all postage due correspondences. So they basically tried to get it like, you know, you have to pay to get the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no, I'm not paying for this.
Oh.
And it was his nomination.
Nomination.
He's like, I don't care. I'm not accepting this call. Basically.
That's hilarious. It's like,
I don't care. But it's from the, you know, the United States of America. They want, no.
No, they want you as president. They want to give you.
You know, they want me as president. They can pay for postage stamps. I'm not doing it.
Okay. Okay. So I have a list of the funniest, who are the funniest presidents.
Really? Do you have jokes from the presidents?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But let's see, the least
George
funny.
George Bush thought he was funny.
Yeah. The least funny are Franklin Pierce.
Why is he the least funny?
He was a drunk and he hated abolitionists. Couldn't. And his wife suffered from depression. And they only saw their, they both saw their only son nearly decapitated in a freak train accident.
Okay.
And they wouldn't had no sense of humor.
Not only did they love slavery.
George Washington wasn't funny either.
Okay. Everything I've read about him, and it's not been remembered, he seems like a real dick.
Yeah.
You know, he was a super rich guy. He came over here and stole what he could and then became the president.
Yeah.
And apparently, too, I was reading that he used other people's money to get the things that he had. Like, he had a lot of money,
but
he would, like, get it from, like, his charges or other people in his family.
Yeah.
And, like, use it to like, get himself, like, a really nice carriage. Apparently, he loved clothing.
Yeah.
Like, loved to travel, liked to be fancy, but didn't want to spend his own money.
Yeah. All right.
USA.
Millard Fillmore.
Your boy.
He was the most boring. He didn't know how to work a room. And he was very boring in his delivery.
Aw.
Yeah.
Did no one say anything? You're like, Millard. You're working too hard. You're getting nothing.
Andrew Jackson, Woodrow Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andrew Jackson was too busy killing everybody.
Yeah, and James Madison, not funny. James Madison.
Not funny.
And he was very short, 5'2".
Wow.
And yeah.
I'm sure he had a problem with that. I'm not even 5'2". I can't imagine.
Yeah. And then Grover Cleveland.
Couldn't tell a knock-knock joke.
So those are the top not
I bet, I'm going to guess that one of the funniest is going to be Tom Jefferson.
Okay, so the top 10 funny presidents you got. James Buchanan.
Uh-huh. What, did you have a stand-up special? 30 minutes with James.
It's rumored he once ran down the White House hallway shouting, I'm James Buchanan and I'm a shitty little trash monster. Feed me the best garbage.
That's it.
And I won't let the Civil War happen. That was funny back in the day.
They fell about the place.
Yeah. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was funny. William McKinley.
Funny also.
Howard Taft. And Ronald Reagan supposedly was funny.
I don't doubt that because, you know, before he became a politician, he was doing what he was meant to be doing, which was acting.
Yeah. Calvin Coolidge.
Then, humorous.
Yes. Number 4 is Barack Obama.
Really? Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? I have read some of this brother's jokes. Corny.
Yeah.
Corny.
And then number three is George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he was being funny on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched a couple of things.
Oh, wait. H.W.
Oh, H.W. Okay.
The first one. He was funny.
Who was throwing up on everybody and passing out.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty funny.
James Garfield. And number one was
James Garfield?
Yeah.
What, really?
He was a droll. He was always making, like, little
before they shot his ass.
And, his little chubby orange frame. And love his lasagna.
His little chubby orange frame? That's rude. Is this funny looking?
No. Well, they were talking about a joke about Garfield the cat.
Okay. So, wow.
And Abraham Lincoln was the funniest.
Well, yeah, he actually was very funny. Yeah. Like, his writing was very good as well.
But we're not talking about people who are, like, actually really funny, but out of presidents. Oh, these are people that are the most lighthearted versus.
It must be because they put Barack Obama's in there with his corny-ass jokes. Mm-hmm. They're terrible.
Yeah.
He told some terrible jokes about the pardoning the turkeys, just, like, every chance he gets.
Yeah.
And it's one of these things where if you watch him telling a joke and his family members are nearby, they're just kind of like,
oh, God.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah, he's like, he does the classic dad jokes.
Yeah, it's like, don't encourage him.
Yeah.
Don't let him get away with that.
Just, I don't know what the word is.
Corny.
Corny and
super corny.
He just wasted our time.
Yeah, he's wasted our time and the time of my associates.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
It also says here, I didn't know, Barack Obama collects Spider-Man and Conan the Barbarian comic books. Not surprised.
Why does he do that?
Because he's a nerd. Conan the Barbarian.
And Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man.
Those are his top picks out of everything that's out there.
Yeah. And he's probably, because it's America, I'm sure there's some that he still can't get, even though he's the president for 8 years. So there's probably someone who's like, no, I'm sorry, I'm not selling this to you.
No.
I don't care.
Yeah, because that's the way, you know, anyone who is into this kind of stuff, they will hoard their
stuff. No, they don't care if you were the president. You're not getting this Spider-Man number 3. It's not going to happen.